Well, what do you hate? Have you ever been shopping at Hornsby? I'm sure some of you have been to Hornsby a few times, probably more than I have. And if you've ever bought groceries at Aldi and you think, oh, I just need to duck over to the other side of the fountain, and you start walking with your trolley, that you get to the doors at the fountain and you think to yourself, what is going on? Why doesn't this trolley go out through the door? And then not only do you have to, well, either take everything out of the trolley, or you have to walk all the way back to Aldi, go down the travelator, then walk your trolley down below on the level below. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate that you just can't cross over to the other side? I hate it when I go to a restaurant and I look at the menu and it sometimes takes me a while to decide what I want to eat. And then when they come, they say, oh, would you like to order? And I say, yeah, I'd like, you know, whatever it is. And they go, oh, sorry, we don't have that anymore. Don't you hate it? Or when you cut the grass and you pick up the leaves and everything's looking amazing, which my lawn does very often, and then a storm hits and it's worse than before. I hate it when I go for a walk and I start heading down a track and I come across a sign saying, footpath closed. I wonder what things you hate. Maybe when you play with Lego and you're trying to find, you're trying to build something big and you find, and there's one tiny piece that you just can't find. You've been looking for hours. Don't you hate it? Just can't find it. Or maybe it's the type of work you're doing right now. Filling out risk assessments, checking numbers, trying to cold call new customers, invoices that aren't right. What is it that you hate? Maybe it's injustice, when people around you are treated unfairly, treated like rubbish, put down and abused. Do you hate that? Now, I'm sure that there are things that you hate, things that really bother you. And as we come to John's Gospel, Jesus says that his disciples may find that people will hate them. The disciples are the ones who will find themselves at the end of this sentence. I hate the disciples. They're going to find themselves to be the object of people's hatred. Now, this whole passage is a warning from Jesus to get the disciples ready for what the world is going to do to them. And in this case, Jesus says, they're going to hate you. So as we turn to John's Gospel, have your Bibles open to John 15. We'll see here that Jesus taught his disciples that the world is going to hate them. But that's not all we're going to see. We're going to see that Jesus then says to them that this hatred is a guilty hatred that the Bible predicted. But there's a right response to this hatred. And this is what we're going to see today. So four things, and you'll see them in your outline, in your bulletin. The first is that the world hates followers of Jesus because of Jesus. Second, the hatred is a guilty hatred. Thirdly, that it's a hatred that the Bible told us would happen. And then lastly, we'll see a right response to this hatred. So let's move into our first point. And the first thing we see is that the world hates the disciples because of Jesus. Now, we started a few weeks back in John chapter 13, and all we've heard up till now is love. Love one another. This is the new command that Jesus gave them. It's really been love, 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 love all the way up till now. And then today we have hatred. The disciples have left the table. It's nighttime. Judas hasn't betrayed Jesus as yet. Jesus continues to teach the disciples, comforting them about what's going to happen. And this time he makes the shocking announcement that the world may hate them. Look at verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Now we've seen the reaction that Jesus has brought from those around him. He's controversial. He told the Pharisees that their attempts to please God were wrong. The message Jesus taught was offensive to them. He put down their rules and regulations and said it was all about trusting him. He tried to throw out their legal framework and put in a heart framework. See, Jesus said it was always about the heart. And as a result, the Pharisees hated him. And they hated him so much they plot to kill him. See, this is what he meant. This is what Jesus meant when he, in verse 19, when he said that he didn't belong to the world. In verse 19, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. See, if Jesus and the disciples just went around and accepted everyone and kept the peace, made sure they didn't offend, well, then they'd have the appearance of belonging, that they too are part of the world. But Jesus goes on in verse 19 and says, as it is. As it is. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. We see here that those who follow Jesus have been chosen out of the world. Now, this doesn't mean that they're superior to anyone else. It doesn't mean that they don't relate to those who remain part of the world. What it means is that even though, like the whole world, we were objects of God's anger, God has chosen us to belong to him. We've become part of God's kingdom. In some ways, we have a foot in both kingdoms, don't we? We talk often about being part of God's family, and here in John's Gospel, we see that because we're part of something different, because we're part of Jesus and his family, that the world may hate us. So we have a foot in both the world and God's kingdom. Now, it's not a guarantee that people will hate us. In fact, I talked to my neighbour about hate the other day, and he's not a believer, and he doesn't hate me. But when push comes to shove, some people may decide that hatred for followers of Jesus is the right thing. And Jesus said this hatred is because of him. Jesus is the one to blame if the world hates you. Jesus is the reason the world hates his followers. It's why Jesus reminded the disciples who they belong to. And we can see it in verse 20. See, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. See, the servants of the master will be persecuted because of Jesus and because they follow him. See, Jesus is the reason why the world hates his followers. And the reason for this is because they don't know God the Father. This is the reason why they hate Jesus so much. And we see that in verse 21, where it says, they will treat you this way because of my name, for or because they do not know the one who sent me. It seems that no knowledge of the Father leads to hatred of Jesus and hatred for his followers. Now, we see this in our society, don't we? We see this hatred for Christianity come through. We see it in our schools as anti-discrimination laws are being imposed on them. We see it when Christians in the public arena decide to speak about their faith. People hate them. But this hatred comes because they hate Jesus and because they don't know the Father. Jesus told the disciples that people may hate them, but this hatred is really because of Jesus. And then he tells them about the hatred. Now, for this, we need to move on to our second point. And as we head into our second point, we need to realize that this hatred is not necessarily a good thing. See, the hatred against followers of Jesus is a guilty hatred. See, Jesus said in verse 22 that they're guilty because Jesus spoke to them about their sin, and now they're guilty of their own sin. Look at verse 22. See, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Now, the author of John spoke about Jesus as light. The world was in darkness, And Jesus, as the light, comes in and people can see who they really are. Now, of course, John spoke about darkness as people living in sin and light being truth that exposes what's in the darkness. It exposes sin. Light, or Jesus, helps expose our sin. And because Jesus comes and exposes people's sinfulness, well, they hate him for it. Now, many people turn away from Jesus and remain in the dark. They remained guilty of the sin that Jesus exposes. When Henry Ironside lived in a mission station in Africa, one day the wife of an African chief came to visit. And while she was walking through the village, she saw herself in a reflection against this tree. She'd never seen herself before. It was a mirror. And she asked who that horrible person was in the tree. She had all these markings over her face, and she had scars from a hard life. And the missionary tried really hard to show her that it was a reflection of herself. Now, she didn't believe it until she could hold the mirror in her own hands, and when she did, she truly believed, and she said, "Oh, well, I want to buy the mirror. I want to buy it. You need to sell it to me." Now, he didn't want to sell it, but eventually, after some negotiating, he sold it to her. And when it was hers, she grabbed the mirror and she threw it on the ground and she said, "I'll never have it make that face to me again." See, the chief's wife saw herself for the first time and she didn't like what she saw. She saw herself as ugly. She saw her painted face with her hardened looks and didn't like what she saw. See, this is what Jesus does as light, who comes into a dark place. He exposes people for who they really are, and they don't like it. They've been exposed, and it's from a position of guilt that the world lashes out against Jesus and his followers, because they're the reminder that they're guilty of their sin. They hate him for it. They hate us for it. But Jesus says they have no excuse, because now they've seen who they really are, and they are without excuse. Look at the end of verse 24. "As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father." See, the world's hate is a guilty hatred. As we come into the third point for today, we now see that the world's hate fulfills God's law. Now, we see this in verse 25, just the one verse, and it says there, "But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." Now, here's a quote that Jesus has taken from one of David's psalms. They think it's Psalm 69, where David was pursued by his enemies. And then Psalm 69 speaks about the injustice of being pursued. David spoke about the great number of people against him. And Jesus takes this, something that David experienced, and says, "Well, the same is for me." He makes this psalm messianic, or makes it about himself. And here in John, he tells his disciples, "People will hate you because of me. Their hatred is a guilty hatred." And here he confirms that all this happened to fulfill what Jesus says here in verse 25. Now, we need to realize that it's not just the mechanics of this that people hate Jesus because the psalm said they would, but there's a greater significance. See, Jesus tells us that the psalm said this would happen. Now, this is a comforting moment, if you haven't noticed. See, this is a comfort knowing that God knew that this hatred would come. The hatred isn't unexpected. It's a great comfort because we know that as hatred comes our way, it was known to God before it came to us. For the disciples, Jesus is sitting with them and he knew he was about to die and leave them. And we'll see more of that in the next few weeks. But in that moment, Jesus prepared his disciples for hatred from a world that would hate them. He comforted them with the knowledge that none of this was unexpected. It wasn't a surprise and it wasn't outside of his control. Now, it's a great reminder for us too that our whole life is in God's hand, isn't it? And I feel that in many ways as a church, we've had to confront many surprises in the last year. Many of you have had to come to terms with some new reality, whether it's health or work, family or whatever. There's all these things have happened to us as a church. And in the middle of whatever you're going through, there's a need for us to realize that none of it, this hatred included, none of it is a surprise to God. He knows what's going on. He knows what's about to happen. None of it's a surprise to him. See, here Jesus is speaking specifically about opposition to the world. So when it happens, don't let it surprise you. Don't think to yourself, why is this happening? But you can be ready, because Jesus knew before his own death that the disciples and even us would experience opposition. So when we think about this opposition or hatred for followers of Jesus, what then is the right response to it? Now we're heading into our last point for today, and this point really is the response to hatred from the world. And the response to hatred is to testify. See, in these last two verses, verses 26 and 27, we see that the Father will send an advocate and he will testify, but he also commissions the disciples to go and testify. Let's read these two verses together. It says, when the advocate comes, verse 26, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit from the Father will testify, and you, the disciples, must testify. Now the word testify, as we see it here, means that the Holy Spirit and the disciples were to make Jesus known. Jesus makes it clear that the Spirit and his disciples are to testify about Jesus. That sort of sounds like two commands when you look at it, but I think it's really just one. See, because the Spirit will testify to the disciples or to believers, and in turn, disciples or believers testify about Jesus. They testify about him. See, the Spirit will testify about Jesus, but the command to the disciples is that they must testify. See, the Spirit will do his work, yet the disciples are actually given a command here that they must testify. So in the face of hatred and rejection and opposition, the response the disciples need to have, which they probably didn't want to, is to testify. A command to go. You must testify. Testify about Jesus. See, this is what Jesus says to them in verse 27. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The disciples were witnesses to Jesus and all that he'd done. They'll receive the Holy Spirit who'll empower them so they can go and testify to those around them. To testify or tell or make known the Jesus who saved them. To speak of Jesus. In the face of hatred from the world, the Spirit will give them strength to speak. To be honest about sin. It would probably start with them recognizing their own sin. They would need to share of their own need for forgiveness and be honest about their own brokenness, their own weakness and their own failures, and how in the midst of that, Jesus has received them and accepted them. And speaking about this would bring opposition. As I read this passage, it reminded me of Stephen in the book of Acts. As he testified and the people hated him, he told the wonderful news of Jesus, that he was the Messiah and had come to bring forgiveness to the people. And what did they do? They stoned him to death. Now, Stephen's often referred to as a martyr. And the word martyr comes from the word testify. Martyrdom is part of being a witness to the saving work of Jesus. to testify about him, to be a martyr for him. See, Jesus said it would happen, and it did. We see it in Acts. And as a follower of Jesus, as one of his disciples, you too are called to testify as well. To testify about Jesus, to be a witness to the saving work of Jesus for your sins. You may get ridiculed for speaking up about your faith. You may be hated and rejected for speaking about Jesus. And it's in the face of this rejection and hatred that you need to realize that this isn't an unexpected response. But don't let fear of rejection and hatred keep your mouth shut. Remember that we have the Holy Spirit with us at all times. Your responsibility as a follower of Jesus is to testify. That's the right response, isn't it? To speak of his goodness, to speak of his forgiveness, and to testify about his work in your life. We've seen today that the world may hate us because of Jesus, but this hatred is a guilty hatred and a hatred that the Bible predicted would happen. But there's a right response, and that is to testify, to tell of Jesus, to speak about his love for all people, to bring people out of darkness and into light. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the hatred. Thank you that hatred from the world is no surprise to you. We pray that we may be people who will trust in you and your goodness to us. We pray this especially when we're on the receiving end of hatred. Fill us with your Spirit and empower us to be bold for you. And we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.